First Epistle to Timothy, chapter 1, continuing on the verse number 6.
Now the end of the commandment is charity out of a pure heart, and of a good conscience, and of faith unfeigned, from which some, having swerved, have turned aside unto vain jangling, desiring to be teachers of the law, understanding neither what they say nor whereof they affirm. But we know that the law is good, if a man use it lawfully, knowing this, that the law is not made for a righteous man, but for the lawless and disobedient, for the ungodly and for sinners, for unholy and profane, for murderers of fathers and murderers of mothers, for manslayers, for whoremongers, for them that defile themselves with mankind, for men-stealers, for liars, for perjured persons, and if there be any other thing that is contrary to sound doctrine, according to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which was committed to my trust. And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry, who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious. But I obtained mercy, because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Howbeit, for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all long-suffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting. Now unto the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory for ever and ever. Amen. This charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before on thee, that thou by them mightest war a good warfare, holding faith and a good conscience, which some having put away concerning faith have made shipwreck, of whom is Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I have delivered unto Satan, that they may learn not to blaspheme.
In the verse number 5 we read that the purpose, the intention, the goal of the commandments in this epistle, especially in the beginning, is charity from a pure heart and a conscience, good conscience, and faith unfeigned. When the hearts of the believers in one local fellowship are bound together and united in charity and loving kindness, their conversation and their relating to one another is toward edifying, building one another up in the faith unfeigned, strong faith, clear faith, the faith that has a purpose and a goal, faith that has been manifested by good works. Without having charity and loving kindness among ourselves as Christians, as the members of the same body, to which body the Lord Jesus Christ personally is the head, without having that charity and loving kindness in our hearts we experience some emptiness. And that is a fertile ground for the enemy to sow the seed of pride, mutual competing, beating one another up with our words and attitude. Can we be the body of Christ without charity and loving kindness? Even if we might be, we don't have that testimony in our hearts. We don't experience the fellowship in the Spirit of Christ the Savior. In the best case, we could say that that body of believers is very sick. What is this vain jangling that we read about in the verse number 6? First, those that were in that kind of a conversation swerved away from the path of charity and loving kindness, and now they are in a foolish talking. Perhaps only talking to talk. Or maybe that has been linked to the preceding verses, giving heed to fables and endless genealogies. If we are involved in vain talking, just the fact that that talking is vain is actually promoting our own vanity. Verse number 7 is adding to this picture. Those that are involved in foolish talking desire to be the teachers, to be teachers of the law, understanding neither what they say nor whereof they affirm. In the 23rd chapter of the Gospel according to Matthew, in the verses 4 and 5, the Lord Jesus Christ is telling the people about the scribes and the Pharisees. They bind burdens that are heavy and very awkward to be borne, difficult to be borne, and they lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves will not move them with one of their fingers. All their works they do for to be seen of men. They make broad their phylacteries and enlarge the borders of their garments, and so on. The Lord abhors hypocrisy. If we desire to enlarge our public holiness by creating unnecessary difficult burdens for the others, burdens that will in no way be heavy to us because we will not touch them, we are not serving the Lord Jesus Christ in that. We might be serving the enemy. I wonder if this could be a wrong path that is outlined here in these verses from the verse number 4 and on. It's possible that some disciples neglected the Bible study, the learning from the Word of God, and then their meetings become boring. There is monotony instead of a sincere desire, prayerful desire, to learn, to know the Word of God, to understand the depth of the Gospel teaching. And then because it's so boring, they're bringing now some foreign doctrines, some teachings that are not Christian, from some other religions or some so-called sciences of the world. And then in the verse number 6 we see that they are swerving away, they are losing the direction, and now they try to supplement or to fill the emptiness, the lack of purpose and direction, with vain jangling, foolish talking, just talk to talk. Try to be interesting to the others. After that, there is a desire to be somebody, to be important in that circle, because deep in their heart they know they're meaningless, worthless in their present negligence of their spiritual life and their relationship with the Lord and with one another. They would like to teach the others, and yet they have no message. They have nothing to share other than their emptiness. What they have learned once in the past times, they have neglected and probably forgotten, and now there is no clear purpose in their mind. What would they like to teach? What would they have to present to the others? Nothing. They just want to be teachers. They want the title. They want the position. They are craving the respect. But there is nothing in them that they could fill that office. Not knowing what they say, they are still talking. They are still speaking. Not understanding the words and the commandments of the law, the teaching of the gospel, they're still trying to teach the others. From the verse number 8, the apostle is explaining to us that these words are not against the rules and commandments. These words are against the vain talking, the teachers that are not teaching properly, those that should sit down and quietly learn the first ABC of the gospel before they could seek teaching positions. And hopefully, if they really learn the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ in good understanding, they're not going to seek teaching positions. Verse number 8 is telling us, we know that the law is good if a man use it lawfully. We know that all this that is in the law is not made for a righteous man, but for the lawless and disobedient, for the ungodly and for sinners, for unholy and profane, for murderers of fathers and murderers of mothers, for manslayers, for whoremongers, for them that defile themselves with mankind, for mansealers, for liars, for perjured persons, and if there be any other thing that is contrary to the sound doctrine, according to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which was committed to my trust. In this verse number 11, we can see that this glorious gospel of the blessed God, which is committed to the apostles, is teaching us how to know the law and how to use it lawfully. How to understand that no commandment in the law and no instruction in the gospel, no teaching of the Lord presented to us by the holy apostles is given to us to limit righteousness, to limit charity, to limit any of the graces of God our Heavenly Father, any of the gifts and blessings given to us in the Lord Jesus Christ. Neither in the old law given through the servant of God Moses, nor in the gospel teaching we find anything that would tell us, you may not love too much, you may not practice charity too much, this is the norm. If you love the Lord more than with your whole heart and mind and soul and body, then you'll be guilty of something. There is no such nonsense in the Word of God. To the contrary, the gospel is teaching us to advance, to progress, to grow in faith and the knowledge of God's will. If we read verse number 8 and then right away verse number 11, we get the meaning of these words in short but very clear. We know that the law is good if a man use it lawfully according to the glorious gospel of the blessed God. Instead of seeking to find out how lawless we may be without being too lawless, the gospel is teaching us to study the Word of God and to pray for grace to be faithful more and more. Instead of studying the law to find out how we can be disobedient without experiencing some severe punishment from God, the gospel is teaching us to be faithful, to be zealous for the Lord. Instead of being negligently ungodly, we should be diligent to grow in godliness. Instead of seeking what we may sin without being forever condemned by the Word of God, we should seek the will of the Lord and the benefit of our fellow believers in everything. Avoiding and rejecting profanities, we grow in holiness. The Lord Jesus said that everyone that hates his brother is a murderer. And even the commandment of old, love your neighbor, your fellow believer, your brother in Christ as yourself, is aromatically pointing to the fact that we should love and respect our parents even more than that. Not only we keep ourselves from injuring or slaying a man shedding the human blood, but we also are encouraged by the gospel to reach out to the sinners in need of God's salvation with that living and life-creating Word of God. Not only we abstain from gross immorality, but we daily pray for purity and purification of our thinking, emotions, affections. Not only we are kept by the law from damaging the property of the others or endangering the life of other people, but we are instructed in the gospel to labor with our hands to have something to give to the needy. Not only we abstain from the lies that are in the world, but we reach out to the world with the truth of the gospel. We strive prayerfully to be men of truth and integrity, as the Lord Jesus Christ is teaching us. Not only we are not going to violate our statements and our promises under an oath, but without any oath, our simple confirmation or denial, our words, yes is yes and no is no. And for us, that's just as much as a covenant. We have taken an obligation that we are going to speak the truth in love. And we are doing that not only because of our reputation in the world in which we live, though that must be important, but first and foremost because we are fulfilling our covenant with the Lord Jesus Christ, to whom we belong. The last part of the verse number 10 is adding, if there be anything contrary to the sound doctrine of the glorious gospel of the blessed God, to keep ourselves from anything that might be contrary to the gospel, prayerfully striving to be made in the likeness of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, knowing that between our testimony and the Lord's example, there is a long distance. And yet the Lord Jesus Christ in His Spirit is patiently encouraging us, teaching us, strengthening us to continue in that strife to be His true and faithful, genuine disciples. In the beginning of this epistle, the apostle is calling God our Savior and the Lord Jesus Christ our hope. Here in the verse number 11 he says, the blessed God. And then in the verse number 12 he continued, I thank Christ Jesus our Lord. We can feel the relationship of the apostle Paul with the Savior and in the Savior with the Heavenly Father. And we are encouraged to strive to know the Lord Jesus Christ, not only personally, but personally also, but also to know Him more and more as we journey through this life in the light of the Word of God. Paul is writing here that this glorious gospel of the blessed God is committed to my trust. And even to us today, this word is not simply imposed upon us by a great dictator. The blessed gospel of salvation in Christ Jesus is a gift, it's a blessing, it's a precious value. For that gospel, in order to come all the way to us in this generation, many tears and a lot of sweat has been shed and a lot of blood of the holy servants and ministers of the Lord Jesus Christ. But above everyone else, the Lord Jesus Christ our Savior shed His own blood in order to write this gospel of salvation and to give it to us as the book of life, the book of truth and salvation in his blood. And now that gospel has been committed to us to study it, to meditate upon the word of God, to seek the Lord's guidance and protection and correction, and to do it prayerfully, so that the Lord God, our Heavenly Father in Christ, would give us that power, enable us to be faithful and to reach out to the world with the teaching of salvation, with the gospel call, come unto the Savior. Again, in this verse number 11, Paul is saying that gospel, the glorious gospel of the blessed God, committed to my trust. And then he continued, "And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry." We see such an obvious contrast, a sharp contrast between the verse number 12 and the verse number 13. Almost impossible thing, and humanly speaking, absolutely impossible thing to happen. It is a miracle of God. Paul, who was before a blasphemer, a persecutor, and injurious, obtained mercy because he did it ignorantly in unbelief. And to keep us from thinking or believing, as a lot of people are inclined to do, that ignorance is some kind of a justification, in the verse number 14 he added, "The grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love which is in Christ Jesus." In these few verses, what I understand Paul saying to us, it's nothing of me, but it is all of him. I am not worthy of any of his gifts and blessings, but he gave me so much because of his grace toward my soul. And now once again I would like to go through these verses step by step to see what of that is applicable to us today. The Lord Jesus Christ enabled Paul, gave him that ability to preach the gospel. The Lord Jesus Christ is giving to us the ability to be faithful and to live that gospel today. The Lord counted Abraham righteous when he believed the word of God and obeyed the will of the Lord. Through the Lord Jesus, we stream up our prayers to the Heavenly Father to make us faithful, to strengthen our faith, that we also may be faithful disciples of the Lord Jesus, the faithful one. The Lord has placed Paul the Apostle into this apostolic ministry. He has given to us a ministry, to each one. None of us should be idle or aimless. In Christ Jesus, in his Spirit, every delivered soul will find purpose and value of living and serving the Lord. This abundance of God's grace was given to Saul of Tarsus, who was a blasphemer. Every one of us is a blasphemer whenever we willingly reject, disobey the word of God. He was a persecutor. Every intentional disobedience to the word of God is a persecution to somebody around us, but mainly to our own soul. Whenever we do something wrong, we injure our soul and we injure the others around us. When Paul the Apostle received the mercy of the Lord, he realized how ignorant he was. Everyone that is violating the word of God, trespassing, transgressing, is ignorant of the fact how awful it is to disobey the Almighty God, the Holy God, the Creator and the judge of the whole universe. The grace of God in the life of the Apostle Paul is so exceedingly abundant in giving him faith unto faithfulness and love for the Lord Jesus Christ and even for his own enemies, in order to touch their hearts and to make this gospel call sound in their inner ears. Telling us all of this, Paul the Apostle intentionally or unintentionally, but by the intention of the Spirit of the Lord, is reminding us, remember what the Lord has done for you. Remember wherefrom you have been delivered, and remember where are you going to. And when by the grace of God we reach that goal and meet all the redeemed ones, all the faithful ones, we will wonder, how did I ever come to this place? And we will know, it's all the grace of God.